are my notes. They are written on an unpaid parking violation. That's just how I roll. So Reuben Mitchell was an actor, he was a writer, he was a poet, a musician, a comedian, an activist, a teacher, a motorcyclist, pretty much like an all-around amazing conglomeration of like nerd and lovable badass. He just had this, like, he had the whole, like, complete package, and everybody loved him. They still love him. If you go into any theater in Philadelphia today, I guarantee you're going to walk in and meet somebody who loves Reuben Mitchell, still loves him, because that's just the kind of amazing guy that he was. And my theory about why he was so widely loved is because he was, like, everywhere, all the time. He was always out. He would go to places, he would hang out in bars, and he didn't drink. So he just consumed a ridiculous amount of ginger ale. And one of the places that you could find him was this establishment known as Quigg's. If you've never heard of Quigg's and you live in Philadelphia, it's probably because you're a stable person. For those of you who don't know, Quigg's is a bar that's located like up in the upper echelons of Plays and Players Theater on Delancey between 17th and 18th. It's a dump. It's one of the worst places on earth. I'm just gonna say it. Nothing good happens at Quigg's. That's a direct quote from Matt Pfeiffer, who is somebody who should know. I don't even know if he actually said that, but I think that he did, so it lends me street cred to say that he did. It's not a fun place. It's like one of the few bars in Philadelphia where you can still smoke indoors, and if you want to stay there after 11 p.m., you have to have a card that says you're a member, and those are the perks. Like, it's... You know, I tried hanging out there once, and I just felt so uncomfortable, and I didn't know who to talk to or where to stand. And Scott Greer came up to me, and he's just this lovely, smart, funny actor in Philly. He came up to me, and he was like, "Hey, slumming?" I was like, "No, I'm not slumming. Why would you say that?" But I was totally out of place there because I just felt so uncomfortable. But Reuben could traverse all of these different echelons of society. He was like a master at breaking cultural barriers, you know, just obliterating any like of those weird societal things that stand in your way. He had this this bumper sticker on his desk that said, "A black man can." Which I thought was really sexy because those are homophones, you know, a black man. Yeah. But Reuben didn't need alcohol to have a good time, is the point. He didn't need to have his idea of a good time was driving out to the airport and parking right under the landing strip and like sitting up on the top of his white Nissan Xterra, eating sushi by candlelight, listening to Sam Cooke as these planes rolled in right over our heads. I'll give you an idea. It sounded something like this. "You send me meow." Like, that was his idea of a good time. Or this one time that we decided to break into the cemetery at Old Swedes Church over on Columbus, just for shits. It was like after midnight and we'd been walking around and we were like, "I wonder if we can get over this really tall brick wall." And we found a little opening. We got inside and we're like, "Ooh, this is spooky and fun." And we found this big oak tree and there was a little bench. So we sat down and we were having this really awesome conversation. And all of a sudden he's like, "Do you hear that?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "There's a dog. There's a dog in here." And I was like, "No, there's not. And a dog." there was a dog. And it started running towards us. And he's up like a shot and running towards this brick wall to get over, to get on the other side. And I'm running after him like, "Reuben, it's okay. If they catch us, we'll just tell them that we got lost." Like typical white girl rationale. And he's running over his shoulder like, "They'd arrest my black ass." That was our idea of a good time, you know? And Reuben had this bookshelf in his apartment that was full of notes and journals, books on philosophy and physics and math and psychology and the complete works of William Shakespeare and the Star Wars trilogy and the Star Trek series and Big Trouble in Little China. He also had these two helmets that were up on his closet shelf. One was like a clean dress helmet, his Arai helmet, because he worked at the Suzuki motorcycle place in Louisiana, so he knew his brands. And Arai had actually saved his life once before. And then he had a second Arai helmet that was covered in stickers, and that was like his workaday regular helmet, which he would wear when we rode together. And I would wear the dress helmet, and I would sit there and look at this one sticker that was right in the center on the back that was a picture of the face of Martin Luther King Jr. And I would hang on when we were driving on the Schuylkill Expressway, 70 miles an hour, the wind is whipping by, and this pavement's just a blur, and I'm going, please, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., please don't let us die on the Schuylkill Expressway. I would pray to Martin Luther King. Reuben also had on his cell phone a list under the Notes app of questions that he wanted to ask his hero, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's this famous physicist who's the head of the planetarium at the Natural History Museum. So, of course, when we went to New York, we had to go there and ask every security guard if he was there, like, is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson here? And they'd be like, no, he is not. It's Memorial Day. Fuck off. But he had this list and he carried it on his person at all times because he wanted to be prepared if he ever had the chance to ask him these questions. And there were questions about like space and the nature of the universe and one about like a black hole. Like what would happen if I fell into a black hole? Where would I go and what would I become? And I wish I remembered all the rest of those questions. But the one that really stood out to me in my mind was the last question on the list for Neil deGrasse Tyson, which was, what do you make of Steve Jobs' last words? And I had to ask him, because I didn't know, why? What were Steve Jobs' last words? And Reuben looked at me and he said, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Because he's an actor and he's dramatic, so that's the way he said it. But I think he knows the answer to that one by now. The day before his funeral, my sister flew in from Michigan to be with me, and she said, you have no food in your fridge. And I was like, oh. And she said, let's go shopping. So we went to the grocery store and we bought so much food, and we came home and we just started cooking all day. We made pork chops and deviled eggs and sweet potato mash and salad and cake. And then we took all of this food and we packed it up and we went up to Germantown and we found Reuben's family. And they were in from out of town, from North Carolina. And I just knocked on the door and this older gentleman answered and I said, hi, did you know Reuben Mitchell? And he said, yes, who are you? And I was like, I was his friend, and I brought some food. And he said, come on in. And his mother came down the stairs, and I said, Jean? And she said, Liz? And we just hugged, and then she said, okay, let me look at you. All right, you're beautiful. So I gave her this food, and then we had to leave, and it felt so good. You know, we're in the car, and we're driving back, and I look at my sister, Katie, and I was like, that was a good thing we did. She's like, yeah. Did you taste the pork chops? And I was like, no. Didn't you taste the pork chops? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, God, what if they weren't cooked? Because you can really mess up pork chops. I said, what if we give his whole family food poisoning the day before the funeral? It would like just make the day a little bit worse. And I was just really panicked about that. And then the next day we got there and we walked into the viewing and I sat down and Reuben's father was right in front of me and he turned around and he looked at me, he put his hand out and he touched my hand and he said, those pork chops were delicious. That's all he said to me the entire day. Yeah. About a month later, we had this really awesome memorial service for Reuben, like a celebration of his life. Where? At Plays and Players Theater. And where did we end up afterwards? At Quigg's. You got it. And I gotta tell you, nothing good happens at Quigg's except for this one particular night. because we were selling ginger ale for $5 so that we could raise some money. And we were telling all these great stories. Pierce Bunting told this story about how Reuben was held up at gunpoint and like kidnapped by these guys one time. And he actually had the balls to just get out of the car and run and made it. Like survived, you know? And I'm telling stories like about the time that we went to go see this play together and I had terrible cramps and we were standing for the entire show. And then afterwards we're walking out and he's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm just, you know." And he's like, "What?" I was like, "I'm having, you know." He's like, "Are you hurt?" "No, I'm not hurt. You're limping. I think you're limping." "I'm not limping, Reuben. What happened to you?" And I said, "Mother Nature happened to me, Reuben." And he goes, "Oh, I see." And the next day, he showed up on my doorstep with a balloon that said, "Get well soon." That's a true story. So we're telling all these stories that night in Quigg's about Reuben and how great he was. And then this song comes on the speakers and we all freeze and we're just listening to it. And it's like, "Hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you." And we all just got up and danced because instinctively at the same moment, we all knew that that's what he wanted us to do. And that was the good thing that happened in Quigg's. And that was the night that I got to tell him that I loved him. And you know, they say that there are no happy endings to love stories, that you either break up or betray each other or things fall apart. Or someone dies. And yeah, maybe that's true. There are no happy endings, but I think that maybe there are also some love stories that have no end. Thank you. But I know when the stars all align, you can't bump into a person in the middle of the road.